This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Great to have you back. Great to be on all of our radio affiliates across the country. And if you're listening to us on the podcast, thank you for that as well. Our special guest this week, Justin Dungy. So a couple weeks ago, we had Hall of Fame coach Tony, and today our guest will be his son, Justin, who is about to embark on an exciting part of his life. He's going to Butler University to play football there. So he's here, play football here in the Tampa area, and he's about to go to Butler. So a great conversation with an excellent young man who really has his focus. I wish when I was his age, like, I had that maturity in my walk. It sure would have helped me or prevented me from making so many mistakes along the way. So it's really impressive to see someone. And of course, given his family background and his dad and his mom, understandably so, that he's that mature in his walk, but he's a very good football player. So wishing him a ton of success. So stay tuned for that conversation with Justin. It's great to have you back. It's been a minute since since you and I did a show together. And as we kicked off season 8 last week with Carolina Panthers head coach Dave Canales, and now we go into episode 2 of season 8, year 8. Can't believe it. Nice to have you with me. And I know you want to talk a little bit about something that's been on your mind, that's been on your heart, and that is disappointment. But before we get to that, I want to remind everybody that next week is the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce Business Expo and Global Conference in beautiful Orlando. I've posted all about it. You hear commercials for it here. It's all over my social media. I believe you still can get tickets. I hope, as of this airing, doesn't hurt to check it out. I'll be speaking on Friday at 10:20 a.m., so can't wait to share a message on achieving the ultimate victory in life. That's what I'm going to be talking about. So really looking forward to that. But now we can get into what we want to talk about this week on our episode. And that's, how do we deal with kind of disappointment when we feel we're always impatient and we always want what we want when we can get it. And sometimes you have to wait on God.
Sometimes you have to wait. And sometimes he doesn't give you the answer. And sometimes he just says, it's okay. Just be disappointed and learn something from it and move on. And this has been the hardest lesson for me, because this week has been just disappointing. Just disappointing, to put it mildly. My problem with disappointment is I always ask with this one question, well, why did it come to me in the first place? Mm-hmm. And why did I even have to experience this? But then I feel like that's just the wrong question. It's the wrong question to ask God. And it's funny, because we were talking about it and we were just walking and talking, and I came home and I was doing something, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit just kind of just gave me an answer. And he was just saying, don't get bitter, get better. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's cute.
I like that. It's catchy.
Yeah.
Don't get bitter.
Get better.
Get better.
Yeah. And it's not that, like, you can think of it like, it's not our fault. When we get disappointed, we can always blame ourselves, like, oh, it's my fault. I didn't do the right thing.
I know in your particular circumstance, it wasn't your fault. It had nothing to do with you, absolutely, but that's not. Okay.
Yeah, 100%. But then you can't help it. You always ask yourself, was it me? Was it me? Like, was I the reason why this happened? But it was not. And I think the voice of the Lord was saying to me, get better, as in, like, one better attitude. You have to have a good attitude regardless, and always know that he is in control. I'm not in control, but he is in control. Okay. And I can always rely on him, and I can always trust him that everything happens for a reason, and everything happens according to his plan for my life. So even disappointments happen. Even victories happen for me, and disappointment happens for me, because he's using it all. Everything he does, he uses it all. And sometimes you just have to stop wondering and stop questioning and just say, Lord, you know what? Maybe you close this door so I don't fall for this or this or that. Maybe you close this door because there's something better.
Yeah.
Maybe you close the door because if it was open, it would be like the gates of hell opening for me. Not really, not the gates of blessing.
We've been down that road.
And we have been down.
We know about some of the doors that were closed and some of the disappointments that were experienced that would have led us into circumstances and situations that probably wouldn't have been best for us at that time.
Exactly. And then we always look back and we say, well, Lord, thank you for closing that door. Even though it was disappointing, even though we thought, this would be like the end all be all. Like if it happens, oh my gosh, like life is going to be great. But looking back, we are thankful that you closed that door. So even though we're disappointed today, and I listen, to get to this point today to even talk about it, it took me about 7 days. Okay. So it took me a long time to kind of like come back and okay, now I can,
yeah,
I can be cool with it now. But had I like recorded this when it happened,
Monday,
I would have been
Tuesday,
like,
yeah,
nope, that's not the case. I'm disappointed right now. And I think sometimes it's okay to process things. Sometimes you just got to sit with God and process it and cry about it. Like just cry it out, process it, and just lean in. Because that's the bitter part comes in. Like you got to get better in your attitude. You got to get better in your walk with God and read and pray and just get better about it. You know, like with your attitude. Because if you run around bitter, it's going to get way worse. It's going to be so much better. And you're going to, and that's kind of like what the enemy's trying to do. The enemy is really trying to get you through disappointment. Like the disappointment is kind of like the gate for him to get in and really get, the enemy really tries to get us through disappointment. He tries to get us through, you know, oh, you're hurt. Let me at your hurt. Oh, you're disappointed. Let me at your disappointment. But like, because your brain starts to focus on that disappointment and finds more disappointment, finds more hurt. And then you spiral out of control and it gets really, really bad. And you start going through this unending cycle of disappointment, yeah, over and over and over instead of like snapping out of it. And that's like, you got to get better. Got to get better with your attitude. Got to get better with your mental focus. You got to get better with your praying and you got to get better with God. And there's so many verses in the Bible, you know, you
before you get to that,
yeah,
I want to say this about disappointment because I want to go off of what you're just talking about. Disappointment can lead to discouragement. Mm-hmm. Discouragement can lead to depression, and depression can become dangerous. Mm-hmm. So it's like the four doomsday deeds right there.
Yeah.
Disappointment can, if you let it,
yeah,
because you're talking about that, this is what you just gave me that thought by saying the enemy.
Yeah.
Disappointment is the enemy wants you to become discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that discouragement, make you depressed. Mm-hmm. And through depression, we know how dangerous that can be for some people. Mm-hmm. And if you're not equipped to handle all of that, then so much can spiral, as you were saying, out of control.
Yep.
So that's why you got to nip disappointment. There's nothing, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being disappointed. Disappointment means you have high expectations, and mm-hmm, we should all have set high expectations for ourselves. So there's nothing wrong with being disappointed in any, if you fail to achieve something or if it's a job or whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't recover from that, and I know you're going to give us a couple Bible verses, if you don't recover from that, that disappointment can lead to discouragement and lead to depression, and that can be dangerous, and I don't want those 4 D's hanging over anybody's
exactly
head.
And also you have to recognize every time something like that happens, you have to snap out and tell yourself what the Bible tells you. Your identity is not in your achievements. Your identity is in Christ. So no matter what happens, your identity is great. You are loved. You are cared for. You are to die for. You are amazing in every way.
Literally, Jesus did die for us.
So much that none of this matters. None of this matters because the enemy is such a liar and he will get in your thoughts and he would say, well, if he loves you so much, why did that work out for you? Why did not this happen for you? And you keep spiraling and you keep asking questions that are just the wrong questions and you have to snap out of it. And you just got to tell yourself, don't get bitter, get better, because you have to trust in the Lord. Like the Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Because my own understanding, well, family, my own understanding is, well, I'm a good person. I'm good at what I do. I do this, this, and that. Why didn't this happen for me? Okay.
Because we give ourselves the credit, right?
Right.
Or my own understanding. Oh, I did this, or I should have received that, or I set myself up for, but really God's in control.
He's always in control. And you take yourself out of the picture and just say, well, Lord, you are in control. No matter what happens to me, I am cared for. I am loved. You are always on my side. You are always just taking care of me. You're fighting my battles for me. I don't have to do any of this on my own. Just get yourself out of the picture and get into the Word of God and get into, like, just under His umbrella. Because when you're under His umbrella, you are protected from everything and anything. And just let go of the disappointment, because you never know. When you let go of the disappointment, maybe God has something so much better for you. You know, just waiting right around the corner.
I don't doubt that, because we lived that. We've experienced that. We've seen that over and time and time again. Mm-hmm. But all of this is contingent upon our firm trust and belief in Him, mm-hmm. surrendering it all to Him, and accepting that the good and sometimes the bad, it's part of that plan, but we have to learn through it, grow through it, mature through it, develop through it, and become better for it. And if we don't, that's where that disappointment, as we were just talking about, can become dangerous. And the bitterness you're talking about, don't be bitter, become better. Bitterness is it's a nasty pill to swallow, mm-hmm. because the more bitter you get, the more resentful you get. And I applaud you for saying you ask yourself those questions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those questions, like, God, why would you let this set me up for that, and then only to take it away? And I wonder how many of us have those questions sometimes on a daily basis, mm-hmm. depending on what's going on in our lives. But we feel sometimes maybe as Christians, I'm not a strong believer if I question God, or I'm not I may be saying the wrong thing. I shouldn't feel that way. I shouldn't think that way. It's human nature. It's human nature.
It's not how I see my relationship with Christ. That's the problem with me. I see Him as my true father, and I just question everything as if I'm questioning my earthly father. I just would ask questions. Like, I'm very inquisitive, and I have that kind of mind that just questions everything, not in a bad way, but more of kind of like a relationship way. Like, I just want to talk to you. Like, I want to talk, and He answers me, and I love that. And He answers in ways that I just love so much. So yeah, it's question things. It's okay to question things.
You know, what's really cool is we got Justin coming up, and Justin talks about his process for deciding where to go to college to play football and how he was disappointed. Mm. And you didn't know this conversation, because Justin and I had the conversation earlier. You didn't know about it, but you wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect segue. So stay tuned. You're going to hear my conversation with Justin Dungy. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Hi, everyone. I'm Remy Mahdi, co-host of Faith on a Field Show. I am so excited to be a part of an incredible team at Coastal Properties Group International here in Tampa Bay and its beautiful surrounding areas. Real estate is my passion, and I love helping people find their dream home. I specialize in luxury sales, but I do it all. So whether you're looking for a starter home, forever home, or a gorgeous property on a beach, I'm your girl. If you're selling, we can list your home and help you every step of the way to make it a smooth and easy transaction. I love the Sunshine State, so for those of you listening to us outside of Florida, I just want to know, what are you waiting for? Living here is a vacation every day. So give me a call at 813-697-8386. Again, that's 813-697-8386. Or email me at remymahdi@gmail.com. That's Remy, REMYMAADDI@gmail.com.
Join us at SWC 2024 Expo and Global Conference, April 18th and 19th in Orlando, Florida. I'm Crystal Parker, president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, inviting you to this powerful event where faith meets business innovation, sponsored by Red Balloon. It's not just a conference, it's a transformative experience for you and a vacation for your family. Secure your spot at uschristianchamber.com. See you in Orlando to shape the future of Christian business.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores, it's not just our name, it's our heritage.
This is Derrick Henry, and you listen to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show. I'm Rob Motti. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com. Find every episode since we launched in 2017. We have had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on a Field. And tell a friend or as many as you would like about our show. If you would like to partner with us and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We can accommodate all of your goals, your business needs. Our dream is to be on a sports radio station in every state, and you can help us make that happen. Even if you don't have a business to advertise, we are a nonprofit ministry, and we have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. We also do special events. We've done them with several athletes and coaches across the country, and we've really had a tremendous opportunity to witness at these and to bring people to Christ. And if that's something that you are interested in, please reach out to us. We'd love to bring a Faith on a Field live event to you. Our guest this week, Justin Dungy, is the son of Hall of Fame head coach Tony Dungy, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. Justin played cornerback and wide receiver at Carrollwood Day High School in Tampa, Florida, and he recently committed to Butler University, where he's going to play cornerback. He's got a tremendous testimony. So here is my conversation with Justin. Justin, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on. I've interviewed, so it's been 7 years on Faith on the Field, 275 episodes, and you are the first player who is in high school getting ready to go to college, who's going to be on the Faith on the Field show. So it's pretty awesome. Your dad was on a couple weeks ago. Carolina Panthers head coach Dave Canales was just on last weekend. So welcome to the show. And man, it's great to talk to you about what's coming up next in your life and your journey. So tell me a little bit about your decision to go to Butler University to play football.
Well, obviously, when you first think of Butler University, you think of their Final Four in basketball. But what really helped me make that decision is knowing that I have family there. And they also have like a great Athletes in Action program on campus. So just really going to a place where I could develop more as a player than a person. And just being around people, strong-minded people, Christ-like people, to help grow my faith more over the next 4 years is really what helped me make that decision.
Well, I love that that's a primary focus for you, and I figured it would be, being that you got such a great influence from your dad. Tell me a little bit about what you bring to the table on a football field. I know you played some corner and wide receiver in high school, but you're going to Butler to be a corner, right? Tell me a little bit about your goals there and what you think you could do as a football player playing that position.
I would say I have good eyes and great awareness, and wherever the ball is, I'm going to be there. So I make plays on the ball, and I really believe not just me as a player, but the whole Butler football program has the potential to change the way people look at it and really change into a an athletic powerhouse, not just basketball, but Coach Yuremovich and his whole coaching staff is great. And I believe that they have the tools to help me take that extra step as a football player.
At what point did you realize that football was something that, you really wanted to pursue? Obviously, your dad was a coach, and for a majority now of your years growing up, right? He's been in the media business, working at NBC. I don't even know how much do you remember of his time, whether it was in Indy, whether it was you're obviously in the Tampa area as I am. But do you remember any of that growing up? Do you have any like favorite memories?
Yeah, it's a crazy story how I started getting into football. It was actually because of a mascot. The Colts mascot. I went to one of the Colts games when I was young, and we were sitting in a suite, and I really just didn't care to be there. I was upset, and I got handed a stuffed animal Colts mascot, and I started playing with it, and I just used it as a football. I started playing football with myself, and over the years, I used to go to work with my dad and through the NBC hallways, play football with myself. So that's since a kid, I've had a big, big love for football, and I've had good imagination. It was that one mascot that changed my whole life, really.
That's awesome, man. And I know the Colts have a really close-knit family type organization led by Mr. Irsay and all of those people over there. So that's really cool, man. I like that. Are there any players you look up to as far as cornerbacks, guys who maybe you watch some of their film or you look at and say, hey, I could take a little bit of his style of play? Are you at that point where you're studying NFL guys or how do you approach it right now?
Yeah. I didn't really start like watching players until this past summer just to see what I could get better on. Of course, it's my senior year and I want to be the greatest I possibly can. And I started digging into Asante Samuel Jr.'s film. Yeah. He's a good ball hawk, and also Darius Slay. I'm more of a zone corner. I see the quarterback and I can see everything he's doing. And Darius Slay is also a very good zone corner. So I like to model my game after him.
That's really awesome. I know Slay a little bit from my time in Philadelphia, and he's been a tremendous player for sure for a long time. And Asante, I covered his dad, so I guess I am old. I remember Asante Samuel's dad when he played for the Patriots and the Eagles, but he's been really a good player too. When you make your decision, obviously you have other schools that you're looking at. Youngstown State was certainly one of them, right? How many school, like, do you narrow it down and go, all right, let's start with 15, let's go to 10, let's go to 5, let's go to 2? What was that process like before you finally zoned in on Butler and everything that they can do for you?
I would say it was really only a couple weeks where I had to actually think about it, because I was kind of under recruited and I didn't really start getting a bunch of offers until after I finished my senior year. So it started with Youngstown State, Toledo, and then Butler, and then PWO at Baylor. And it was really easy to pick one of the bigger schools, and because they have all this nice stuff. And I was really getting drawn towards the superficial things, but I just had that feeling that God was telling me it's not what you can get temporarily from a program, is what they can give you long term. And that's what really helped me narrow down my decision to not looking at what the cool things are, but what it can do for me in the future. And there was really not trying to downplay any other schools, but it was really only the two schools, Baylor and Butler, that really I felt could help me as a Christ follower in the future.
I love that God is such a big part of your decision-making process, and being a follower of Christ is so important to you, Justin. At what point did your faith kind of, like, was there a moment where it clicked for you? Did you, I know you grew up in a family where Christianity is so important, but at what point kind of did it become your own, where you made that decision, like, hey, it's not something that my parents are telling me. This is something that I want for myself. I want to follow Jesus.
I would say everyone at a young age, they kind of take that one step, but they don't really commit to it. And I would say these last couple of months are where I've been the strongest. Of course, I told you that I wasn't getting recruited, and I thought my days of football were over. I went to my mom after we lost, and I started just crying. I told her, "It's over. I have nothing going for me." And when I started getting offers, and that's where it just like hit me, where my mom was telling me, "God has a plan for you. It's all gonna work out." And just seeing God's plan for me come together just told me that unimaginable what he can do. A couple days ago, I wasn't going anywhere, and now I can pick from a bunch of schools that really want me. And it's just a dream I've been having since a kid. God makes it happen. You just gotta stay committed. And I would say after my last football game is where it really clicked.
That's awesome, man. And I know there's a pretty important Bible verse that I'm sure is significant to you, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plan, the Lord has plans for you to prosper you, and that's something that is sometimes it could be a slower process, Justin. Sometimes we want things right faster than, and God's timing is slower, or he may say no at some point, or whatever it is. Or have you learned to kind of accept that God knows what's important for me, and he wants the best for me, and if I can just follow and do my part, and eventually it'll come?
Yes, sir. And he started to tell me that obviously football is not gonna take me through my whole life. I need to start. And that's really what I want all this for, to get a platform and just like how my dad does it. Not he's starting to get a name, not just from being a great football coach, but being a great person. And I want to get involved through these next couple of years in the community and just helping others, because there are people like me who think they have nothing going on in their life and they just need that next step. And that's what I want to do. I really want to help people find that next step.
That's awesome, man. What's a day like for you now, as you're getting ready before you head off to school? What, how much work are you putting in the gym, on the field, in the classroom? Like, what's a typical day in Justin Dungy's life?
I would say the closer I get to being done with high school, the more irritated I get, the more anxious I get. But I try to stay locked in, and every day after school, I just, 'cause there's days where you get tired, but I just take myself straight to the gym, and then some days I'll go to the field. And that really how it's been the last couple of years. I've never, outside of my family and my coaches and my team, I've never really had anybody that really supported me. So I've just been by myself, and I like it like that, putting the work in when no one else sees it, but they'll eventually see it. So that's how I've been.
No doubt, man. And no doubt. Well, it seems like you have a great approach. It seems like you have a great support system. I know that for sure at home. And you're heading into a situation that seems perfect for you. And I wish you a ton of blessings, man. And I can't wait to see what you can do, not only on the field, but as you said, what your dad does in the community, and the name that he's made for himself outside of being a Hall of Fame head coach and former player, but just a great person. And to already have, at your age, to already have a heart to do that for other people, that's pretty great, man. And so I'm wishing you the best in everything, and a ton of blessings.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Justin Dungy. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, and everyone on our team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children.
We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.